your say now. Text or WhatsApp Kildare today on 0833 97 97 97.
You can also email studio at kfmradio.com or call us on 045 898 999. Now, the number of claims related to accidents caused by drivers who were either uninsured or untraced rose 11% last year. The Motor Insurers Bureau of Ireland said 1,927 claims were received during the year, up 187 on 2022. The largest number of claims, understandably and probably not surprisingly, came in Dublin, where there were 822, followed by Cork, which recorded 141. Kildare is among the top five counties with the most claims, 102 in 2023. That's an increase of 30 on 2022, where there was 72. David Fitzgerald, CEO of the Motor Insurers Bureau of Ireland, the MIBI, is with us now. David, good morning and thanks for joining us. Your reaction to those figures, what do you make of them?
Disappointed and troubled. It's worth, I suppose, reminding your listeners that the cost of compensating the victims of uninsured and untraced accidents is funded by law-abiding motorists. Effectively, uninsured drivers will take millions from the pockets of you and me and adding an average of 30 to 35 euros to the cost of a motor insurance policy. An increase in uninsured driving claims is likely indicative of an increase in uninsured driving generally. Our research at the end of 22 found that 1 in 12 private vehicles was driving uninsured, and that Ireland had the second highest level of uninsured vehicles in Europe.
Of course, it is illegal to drive without valid motor insurance.
Absolutely. It's a serious crime if you're caught. The Gardaí will seize the vehicle, potentially leaving it at the side of the road. It's 5 penalty points, a mandatory court appearance, a fine of up to 5,000 euros, and a possible prison sentence for repeat offenders.
Do you think maybe people are not deterred enough and we're not seeing enough enforcement out on the roads and those behaviours are not changing because of that?
Well, the good news in relation to enforcement is the Gardaí have new technology now to clamp down on uninsured driving. We're providing the Gardaí with the insurance details of 3 million vehicles on a daily basis, and using their mobility devices and cameras in road policing cars, they can quickly scan a licence plate and know within a matter of seconds if the vehicle appears to be insured or not. So we see that as really game-changing technology for the Gardaí, and we think it's going to make a real difference this year in reducing those uninsured driving levels.
And just on that, and on road safety in general, Jack Chambers, the Minister of State with responsibility for transport, said the initial results from Gardaí spending a mandatory 30 minutes of road policing per shift have been positive. He also said that more significant enforcement is needed on roads and that 12 static speed cameras will be operational this year. He says that for the first time in 30 years, a review of the driving test system is being undertaken. That's speaking generally about road safety. We've seen 70 deaths on our roads so far this year, including 5 here in Kildare. One death, as we know, is too many, but those figures very high, David, and unfortunately life-changing for many families out there.
Absolutely. There's an awful lot of tragic accidents out there. That's families and friends, affected every time. It's far too high at the moment. So we feel this would be good for road safety as well as good for the pockets of law-abiding motorists. There's often a correlation between people choosing to drive uninsured and other issues, for example, unroadworthy vehicles, issue of speed, risk-taking. So whatever, if we can reduce uninsured driving drivers on the road, I think it's got to be helpful for road safety generally.
Okay, the MIBI, obviously a not-for-profit organisation established to compensate victims of road traffic accidents caused by uninsured and unidentified vehicles. Do we have kind of a general cost, a general payout, or maybe an average payout of those that are uninsured?
So we pay out 60 to 70 million euros per annum to compensate their victims. So it's not a small amount of money. That's where that 30 to 35 euros that's going on the motor policies is coming from, because we're fully funded by the motor insurance industry. So those costs get passed on in motor insurance premiums. So whatever we can do to reduce uninsured driving, I think is good for all the honest motorists out there buying the motor insurance.
Do you have any breakdown as to whether these are individuals or fleet vehicles? Because I remember speaking to you before, and there's that new database now for companies that they have to register their fleet. Are we seeing an increase in companies that are registering?
We are. We've had very good take-up on fleets registering. It's not too late to register. There's still a few fleets to go, but we're at the last figures I had, we had 262,000 fleets registered, which is more than our original estimates. And we have been writing to fleet owners in recent days to encourage the ones that we can see have been uploaded by insurers that haven't registered their vehicles yet to do so, because that is an offence. Not only with the Gardaí you think that you're uninsured, an offence to fail to upload your vehicle. So it's not too late. NFD.ie, if you put that into Google, it's not, and you're a fleet owner that has the ability to dynamically change your fleet vehicles, please do so without delay. We don't want to see anybody who has insurance getting fined by the Gardaí for failing to upload their registration details. Just to reassure private motorists, they don't need to do anything. This is specifically for the owners of large fleets that would have many vehicles that are changing their insurance position dynamically during the course of the year.
And finally, David, it goes without saying, for those private owners and individuals, there is no excuse for not insuring a vehicle. And as you say, those that don't insure it and are in an accident, it's us, the regular taxpayer, that is more than likely insuring their vehicles that are having to pay the consequence.
Absolutely. It's the law of the land for a reason, to protect innocent victims. After we've compensated the victim, we will pursue the uninsured driver for the course of the claim. So that could be a very large claim settlement hanging over that person for a long time, preventing their ability to get a car loan, a mortgage, having to repay it over time. It's it can be very substantial if there's an injury involved in an insured accident.
And again, to reiterate those figures, the number of claims related to accidents caused by drivers who were either uninsured or untraced rose 11% last year. 1,927 claims were received during 2023, up 187 on 2022. That rise nationally is also replicated here in Kildare, where there were 102 claims last year, which is a rise of 30 compared to 2022, when there were 72 claims. David Fitzgerald, CEO of the MIBI, the Motor Insurers Bureau of Ireland, thanks for your time this morning.
Kildare Today with Owen Beatty.
With Whitewater Shopping Centre Newbridge, Ireland's largest regional shopping centre. Fashion, food, film, all under one roof in the heart of Newbridge. WhitewaterSC.ie.
Okay, welcome back. Well, as we mentioned yesterday on the programme, €348,000 in funding was announced by the Department of Rural Affairs for projects in Kildare, €198,000 allocated for the purchase of a serviced site in the centre of Calverstown Village for future development of a community space, while €150,000 was allocated for an activation programme to establish a weekly market for Kildare Town Square. Just over the border in Enfield, there was €500,000 in funding allocated for the refurbishment of the community hall there in Enfield, and local Fine Gael councillor Niamh Suhan is with me on the line. Niamh, thanks for joining us. This funding certainly welcome for Enfield.
Absolutely, it's fantastic news for the hall in Enfield. It'd be great to get the hall back into use for the community, and the Enfield Development Group have been working endlessly for years to get this back up and running. So it's absolutely fantastic news for the town.
I was looking at photographs, and you mentioned that development group that have been working so hard has been lying vacant for a number of years, and so many people in Enfield saying, wouldn't it be great to have a central community space there for a growing population? And this funding now really gives it that opportunity to develop.
Absolutely. And the Enfield Development Group have been working, even though it's been idle for years, they've been working to keep of the hall and keep it looking visibly nice in the town. So to be able to bring it to the next step now and get it back into use will be super. There is need for growth in community spaces in Enfield with the growing population. You know, we do need more facilities in the area, but with this starting, it'll add and it'll get better and better with time.
And this is the second bit of good news for Enfield in recent weeks. Back on the 16th of April, only 2 weeks ago, you had a post up to say that it was announced that Enfield is one of 10 areas selected for a new school building under the department's design and build programme. What's that going to mean for the area?
Oh, it's fantastic news. This is a new school for special needs, and it's a temporary school building that will be located in Enfield for the foreseeable few years as they're building a new school in the area that will then be the main school for special needs children. So it's super because there's so many shortages of spaces and that for children. It's great to have this opportunity and to have it in Enfield.
Okay, lots happening then in Enfield with that funding that's been announced. Niamh Suhan, who is Fine Gael councillor in Enfield, thanks for joining us. Well, Rachel Wall is on the line, Social Democrats local election candidate down in the Athy Municipal District around the Castledermot area. And when we talk about this funding for Enfield and here in Kildare Town and Calverstown, Rachel, you were very, very vexed, to put it bluntly, that Castledermot didn't receive any funding, and you say it's really badly in need of some funding to give the town a facelift. Tell us more.
Hi, Owen, good morning, and thank you very much for the opportunity. Yes, you're right, I am vexed, I'm very annoyed. We have a lot of potential here in Castledermot. We had a Castledermot Small Town Renewal Master Plan developed recently, and there are a number of areas where this funding, if it was applied for, and it wasn't applied for, and I'm very annoyed with that, such as the public rail enhancements, pedestrian pathways, public the town centre, public spaces we could have developed for parking and for general amenities, you know, heritage trail implemented. We have a town with huge historical significance. We have the Round Tower, Harcross Abbey, Shackleton area as well. We could have developed a heritage trail to enhance tourism and education prospects for everybody, our own local people, young people, older people, and for people who are invited to the town and who are staying in the town and who want to come to the area where Shackleton was born and reared. We could have activated vacant properties. There's a lot of vacant properties. I counted 27 in one stretch on a recent canvassing trail alone, just one area. Failure to apply for this funding to redevelop this, we've missed out on economic revitalisation and social improvement in the town, and we have many, many people approaching us, myself and others who would have been elected or who were elected to look for housing, and they're on lists, and all of this development could have been hugely beneficial for all of the people who are on long housing lists. Green spaces areas, you know, in the town, we had, again, it was the master plan, but there was no funding or budget attached to this. So we are missing out on fantastic redevelopment around the river area in the town, around the green area in the town, local amenities, necessities such as public toilets, car park spaces for the area in the playground. Pedestrian and cycling infrastructure, we don't have decent infrastructure in the town, paths, not fit for purpose. We have no wheelchair accessible footpathing paths, no pedestrianisation, no cycling paths and routes. And the town is a very small town, but we have a huge walking groups. For example, we have a lot of places like the schools in the town, the shops in town that people can easily access on foot and walk around the town when they're going on their running or their jogging routes as well. And, yeah, you know, it's just unacceptable.
I mean, we've spoken about the south of the county quite a lot here on the programme, and yeah, I know that the elected councillors and the elected TDs would say that we're trying our best, but what we get time and time again, and even this morning messages coming in, Castledermot has been forgotten about for far too long. The elected, yeah, reps would argue that, but do you think it is a forgotten town?
Yes, it is. 100% forgotten, and that's one of the reasons why I accepted the opportunity to go forward for election. There's very little I can do at the moment until I am elected, and I hope I am. But yes, we are a forgotten town. And don't forget, Owen, we have 1,000 people in the town alone itself. We have roughly 5,000 plus in the larger demographic area. We have a huge influx of new people. We have new, at least 5, maybe 6 housing estates in the town, and some of them. We're also on the commuter belt, as well. So we're going from Carlow right up to Dublin and down to Waterford. We're on the commuter belt, and it shouldn't be forgotten about it. There's no excuse for it. I don't understand why it's forgotten about. Huge development potential, master plan done, nothing attached to it. So where to from here? Also, we have other smaller areas like Moon, Timoleon, Kilkee, Leverkusen. All of these areas are attached to the Italian Municipal District, Ballytor. Somebody only recently, yesterday evening, commented that there are huge money pumped into a fantastic resource centre which is not in use in Ballytor.
Yeah.
So again, back to Castledermot, massive potential there, and we have been absolutely 100% forgotten about. And I'm in the town, it's my community, as a private individual, as well as hopefully an election candidate, and it's my responsibility and it's my desire to get this town back up and running the way it should be.
Worth remembering, though, that back in February, Castledermot did receive €30,000 in funding for the town centre development, could include projects like revitalising derelict sites, establishing parks and walkways, boosting small and medium enterprises, tourism, preserving historical landmarks, etc. So surely that's welcome funding.
Oh, it was welcome, and I was the first. I wasn't the first, but I wasn't the only person that welcomed that. I was excited and celebrated this. The only problem is nothing has been said about it since. There has been no publishing about what it's going to be used for. I mean, 30,000, God, we could easily do with 300,000 or 3 million. So, yes, it's a very welcome, but it's only a start on. It's definitely not good enough. It falls way short of what we need. But, yes, 30,000 could have been pumped into the local area, in the town itself, in the central area in the town. But certainly for needs, as I mentioned earlier, we have traffic calming needs around the playground area that was mentioned to me. We have public toilets that could absolutely have been used for those two essential elements alone, and nobody has seemed to have done anything about that. I had one very angry person speaking to me, and she said she has been given up on speaking to public representation because she has spent the last 15 years and 10 years and 5 years respectfully begging and looking for public toilets for the playground area that was up at least 7 or 8 years now at this stage, car parking in the town that was completely wiped out because we have a huge build-up of property which has lots of vacancies as well. So it's completely unacceptable. And it's a fall, it's a shortfall. It's very welcome, it's a good start, but it's a shortfall, 100%.
All right, listen, we'll have to leave it there. Unhappy that Castledermot was overlooked for funding their Social Democrats candidate for the Italian Municipal District in the Castledermot area, Rachel Wall. Thanks for joining us, Rachel.
Kildare Today with Owen Beattie.
With Whitewater Shopping Centre Newbridge, Ireland's largest regional shopping centre. Fashion, food, film, all under one roof in the heart of Newbridge. WhitewaterSC.ie.
Sinn Féin election candidate Thomas Redmond says, sadly, public toilets have all been taken from our towns. It's ridiculous and so difficult for some people. He says Castledermot is an area that he has had weekly clinics in for many years on a Thursday night. Antisocial behaviour is becoming a major issue in this urban area. There's little for kids to do and no transport links. We need to build communities, not just housing estates. And that's from Thomas Redmond. Shortly, we'll be joined by bookmaker Dara Fitzpatrick, marking your card on day one of the Punchestown Festival. But local historian Liam Kenny is with us now. And Liam, you're going to tell us about years gone by in Punchestown, and particularly 120 years ago, 1904.
Yeah. Good morning, Owen, and good morning, listeners. And look, it's always a great day, the opening day of the Punchestown Festival. And I know people all over County Kildare and farther afield are actually scanning both the form guides and the skies to see what the weather will bring. And that's important both to assess the going, but also your female and indeed your male listeners want to assess their wardrobes. And one of the skills of Punchestown is how to look fashionable in a downpour, you know. But hopefully the rain clouds will stay away from that part of East Kildare over the next coming days. And certainly fashion and colour of all kinds was on display in the wider Naas and Punchestown areas 120 years ago in 1904, when royalty came to visit Punchestown in the persons of King Edward VII and his queen, the Danish princess Alexandra. Now, Edward was no stranger to Punchestown. As a much younger man, over 30 years earlier, he had in 1868, as the then Prince of Wales, he had come to Punchestown. And while Punchestown had been, you know, there and racing, possibly from as early as the 1820s, had been taking place in over the lands of Punchestown, it was his attendant, he was then confusingly named Prince Albert, kind of turbocharged Punchestown as a place to see and be seen. And from 1868 onwards, Punchestown was at the top of the social calendar for all classes of society, be they peddlers or princes. But in any event, when news filtered across from London that the royal pair were visiting, people in Naas began to mobilise, and there was a meeting held in the town hall, and all the great and the good of the town of Naas, including, you know, well-known Main Street names like Gogarty's and Dowling's and so on, put together a fund to collect subscriptions to decorate the town. And they were supported by the Church of Ireland and the Catholic clergy, and also by the landowners around in the Kildare Hunt district. And the outcome, Owen, was that the town of Naas, from the Dublin Road and right through up to Fair Green Street, was festooned in bunting, triumphal arches and decorative canopies, and most of them adorned with the Union Jack flag. Now, some years ago, some of us in the Naas Local History Group came across some photographs of that street, and for a minute we thought we were looking at photographs of Belfast on the 12th of July, not Naas, County Kildare. But of course, we have to remember that Ireland was very firmly embedded within the United Kingdom at that time, and it would be many years before the whole our present status of a republic were to come about. And in any event, they arrived in the Royal Yacht across the Irish Sea, escorted by four warships into Kingstown Harbour, now Dunleary. They were received by the local town commission there. And then they boarded a train. And listen to this, didn't touch Irish soil again as their train made its way around through the network of railways, round the north side of Dublin, through the Phoenix Park Tunnel. Many of your listeners will be familiar with that route now as commuters. And all the way down to Salins and continued on the junction for the Tunnel Line to Naas, where they alighted from the train at Naas railway station. And maybe some listeners, some of your more recent listeners, might be scratching their heads, where in heaven's name was the railway station in Naas? Well, you can visualise it very easily. The next time you're shopping at what we might call the old Tesco on the Blessington Road, when you're at the checkout in that old Tesco, you are standing on the platform of the old Naas railway station. And they were received there by Stephen J. Brown. People may remember the solicitor's firm of Brown and McCann, who is the chairman, indeed the first chairman of Kildare County Council, which had only been elected 5 years previously for the first time, and Mr. Staples, who was chair of the Town Council. And Mrs. Brown presented the Queen with a bouquet of roses and lilies of the valley. And they continued on up the town, and, you know, apparently there were lots of people out waving handkerchiefs and waving flags as they passed by. And the town was decorated with all the royal colours and the royal colour schemes. Now, things weren't so carefree that security could be entirely neglected, and the very precise figure of 333 members of the constabulary were drafted in to line the streets and patrol the road out to Punchestown. And they were accommodated in the old jail, which was just to the west of the canal harbour. And interestingly enough, there were large bales of straw thrown into the old jail for the policemen to sleep on overnight between their days and duty. And that led some of the local wags to title the old jail as the Straw Lodge, the Straw Lodge. And as somebody said, the policemen were accommodated in more comfort than many of the convicts they had sent into that jail in previous years. So they continued out to Punchestown, where they were met by all the great figures of Kildare society, people like the de Burghs of Naas, the de Robecks beside Punchestown and Gordon Grange, the Latouches of Harristown, who Percy Latouche had more or less established the permanent fixtures in Punchestown Racecourse as they later become, and so on. And the king, he was so enthused by the racing that he came back a second day. Alexandra decided to take a bit of a break, and she stayed in the Viceregal Lodge, or Oras an Uachtaráin as it is now. But, you know, Edward and Alexandra, one might think that's all so far in the past and a different world, all dead and gone. You can still see permanent souvenirs of both of them in the Naas area.
Yeah.
In the town of Naas, opposite Larry Swan's there, there's an old letterbox. And if you look closely on it, it's got E-R and the Roman numerals V-I-I, Edward the Seventh. And then your listeners who drive out towards Clane will cross a bridge that was named after Alexandra, the bridge over the Liffey into Clane, Alexandra Bridge. Itself marking an anniversary this year. It was built in 1864, so it's 160 years this year, providing a service to the people of Clane and surrounding parts.
Listen, local historian Liam Kenny setting the scene for the Punchestown Festival and reminiscing in those days of years gone by. Thanks so much for that, Liam. And I think that piece is going to be in some of the local papers this week, or probably is already in some of the local papers. So, Liam Kenny, thanks indeed, and no doubt we'll chat to you soon. Well, from the past, we go straight to the present, as we're only a couple of hours away from the first race at Punchestown.
KFM's Daily Live Punchestown Update with bookmaker Dara Fitzpatrick.
Dara Fitzpatrick is with us in studio to mark your card. And Dara, great buzz around the place with the first day of Punchestown.
Yeah, great buzz around the place. And the weather is not that good out there at the moment, but it's clear in the afternoon. So, and then it'll be fine skies for the rest of the week. The weather forecast for the rest of the week is very, very good. Really looking forward to it. A really exciting week. And it all started off at Naas Racecourse last night. And you could feel the energy at Naas Racecourse last night moving into today. A lot of English are over. Big ticket sales from the English contingent. So looking forward to seeing a lot of English to come over once a year, and it's nice to see them in the county and spending some money in local areas and local hotels. All the hotels are full around the place. It's a great buzz, and at this time of the day there's a great anticipation. I'm going straight out to Punchestown from here today, so really looking forward to it, really looking forward to a busy day and looking forward to the week ahead. And please God, everybody will get an opportunity in some shape or form to either attend Punchestown or to watch it on television. It's a spectacle no matter where you are.
First race is at 2:30, the Kildare Hunt Club Cross Country Chase for the Ladies Perpetual Cup. What way do you see this going?
It's a horse for local trainers and local owners, and you have to qualify through the Kildare Hunt for this. Very hard to work it out, but it's a very wide open race, 4-1 the field. The horse I like in the race, and a trainer that's on fire this week, he's actually fifth in the Trainers' Championship in Ireland, has been having a great season. He's having over 40 winners for the day, is the top horse, Casey West, trained down in Wexford by Philip Rotwell. And I think this horse is a real each-way chance. Another horse in the race is the 5 horse, trained by Sam Curling down in Tipperary, the Northern Door. But 2 against the field here, but it's wide off. I'd be keeping my powder dry. I'll be moving on to the next race.
Yeah, take us through the next race then. It's 3:05, bloodstock.com, Full Circle Series Final Handicap Hurdle.
Yeah, look, at a wide open contest here, and this always turns out to be a very competitive race here. The thing to note, actually, there's 5 English trained runners in this race, which is great to see. Lots of English horses coming over this year. It's the first time in many years that we've seen a good contingent coming from England. And I like one of the English trained horses here. It's the 22 horse trained by Tom Lacey in England, Montagard. Won very easy the last time out in the handicap in Ludlow. And I think this horse is a real each way chance. I was actually told at Nace Racecourse to have a few quid in them last night by some of the English contingent, well fancied and could improve significantly. Of the Irish trained horses, it's the 14 horse Morricone. Won its last twice, trained by Ray Hackett, and it's ridden by a good rider in Darrow O'Keefe, and it's been ready made for this race. Of the outsiders, I like another Tom Lacey trained horse. It's the 20 horse Tune in a Box, but I'm going to put 2 up here against the field, the 14 horse Morricone and the 22 horse Montagard.
20-4 KPMG champion novice hurdle.
Yeah, look at it, a 9 going to post here, and 6-4 favourite is Slade Steel, trained by Henry Bromhead and ridden by Rachel Blackmore. This is the winner of the Supreme Novice in Cheltenham. It hasn't run since Cheltenham, and for that reason whatever beats that horse today will win. I think this horse will win. I think this is probably the nap of today. Of the 2 outsiders that I like the three horse here, Firefox, around 8-1, was behind him in Cheltenham but ran at entries. That's a negative for him. And of the other ones, I like maybe like the 4 horse Il Antique. Hasn't done it in entry, hasn't done it in Cheltenham, but has a good run in the Grade 1 in the Lauders Hotel in Nace, the 4 horse Il Antique. So I'm going, not the 7 horse here, Slade Steel, on a pause, but at around 6-4, I'm putting 2 up against it, the 3 horse Firefox each way and the 4 horse Il Antique each way.
We'll go on then to the 4:15 Killishy Hotel handicap hurdle.
Yeah, look, this is a very, very tricky contest again. Daddy Longlegs around 100-30 is the definite start at favourite, trained by Willie Mullins and ridden by Paul Townlands. And what a contest we have here this week between Paul Townlands and Jack Kennedy. Personally, I'd like to see Jack Kennedy winning the Jockeys Championship this year. He's a man that's been pestered with injury in the past, and he's after getting a clean bill of health the whole way through the National Hunt season this year, and he's on 122 for the season. Chased up by Paul Townsend on 115. So Paul Townsend has to try get in front of him this week. I actually hope that Jack Kennedy wins it, but I think Paul Townsend here on Daddy Longlegs has a real chance here at around 7-2 shot. Another horse I like in the race is the 14 horse 2-2, trained by Gavin Cromwell. Gavin Cromwell has a nice stable of horses, and he's a nice couple of horses for this week, and I think this horse here could be there or thereabouts, the 14 horse 2-2. So it's 2 against the field here, the 9 horse Daddy Longlegs and the 14 horse 2-2.
10-5 is the Goff's Defender Bumper.
Oh, look at it. Very hard to pick the winner of this race here. You have to really be there or watch the market on the day. I'm after going up and down it. These are all horses that were sold at the Golf Land Rover sale this last year, and very few of them have run or they've ran in the pint to pint field. They haven't run into the track. The horse in the race is probably the King Rascal Grade 2, trained by Willie Mullins. Another horse in the race is the 2 horses, very interesting, trained by Emmett Mullins and owned by Pierce Mee and ridden by John Leeson, which is Brian Leeson's son, the RTE commentator. If there's money for this horse, I think it'll be thereabouts. So I'd be watching the market here, and if money came for the 2 horse Garahan, I'd have a few quid each way on that, but it's an impossible race.
The 5:25 is the William Hill Champion Chase, then another difficult one to
call. Dino Blue here, the 8 horse, is a very sharp price favourite at around an even money shot, ridden by Clane's own Mark Walsh and owned by JP McManus and trained by Willie Mullins. This ran in a mare's chase in Cheltenham on Gold Cup Day, and he couldn't get by Limerick Race, and I can't get that race out of my mind when I'm thinking about this horse here. I think this horse is opposable at the price. They're going to go off a real lickety click. It's a 2 mile champion chase. They're going to go off really fast here, and St. Sam is going to make the pace. He's going to set up a really quick face, and the 9 horse Mascada, they're the 2 front runners in the race. And look, we tipped up Captain Guinness in Cheltenham for the champion chase and it won that day, and it's drifting all the way today. It'd be nice to see him winning, but I'm going to tip up 2 in the race here. I'm going to tip up to 2 horse Banbridge to stay through them, trained by Joseph O'Brien and ridden by John Joslevin, and the 6 horse Gentleman de May, trained by Willie Mullins. Willie Mullins second string in the race and ridden by Paul Townend. But it's a tricky race. Dino Blue will definitely start favourite, but I think he's opposable at the price.
Alright, 2 races left then. The Dooley Insurance Group Champion Novice Chase at 6 o'clock. o'clock.
Yeah, look at a very, very tricky race. A wide open contest here. We'll bet it around 3-1 the field. 8 runners in the race. Lots of horses with chances. Very hard to pick the winner of it. I'm going to tip up here. Paul Nolan's having a good season this year. And Sandra Clegan, trained down in Wexford by Paul and ridden by Sean O'Keefe here. He's around a 10-1 shot. Can't get this horse out of the place. It's a dead 8, so we can't get this horse out of the place. And I'm going to tip up the bottom horse here, 3 Car Brag. This horse runs very fresh, around a 16-1 shot. I think these two horses could be in the placers here. So I'm going to put 2 up against the field, but it's wide open. The 5 horse Sandra Clegan and the 8 horse 3 Car Brag.
And the final race of the evening then?
Look, it's another wide open lottery here. Lots of money for Unknown Entity. This is a horse trained by Willie Mullins and bought out of Point to Point Field. Just because it's Willie Mullins and Patrick Millins, it's a 6-4 favourite. Very hard to pick the winner of it. A horse I'd like to see winning is the 6 horse Col Cannon. Actually won a bumper in Punchestown. If you look at his form lines, he's finished 3rd. He's a D, which means he was disqualified, and he was 3rd in Turles the last time out. But he was disqualified in Punchestown and won that race really easy that day, and it's around a 6 or 7-1 shot, and it's ridden by Derek O'Connor today. I think this horse can't be out of frame, and for that reason I give that a good each way chance. Another horse I like in the race is the 2 horse Balka Diane, trained by the legendary Philip Fenton, who rode loads of bumper winners in his time, and it'd be nice to see this horse getting there today. So I'm going to oppose the favourite, the 17 horse Unknown Entity, and putting 2 up against him here, the 6 horse Col Cannon and the 2 horse Balka Diane.
All right, just a reminder as well, we're going to be broadcasting live from Punchestown all of this week, and Paul Power and Emma O'Connor will be there at the track, and we'll bring you live race commentaries, all in association with Ace Casino. Let's recap the punters' bets then that Dara has given this morning. The first race, number 1, Casey West, and number 5, the Northerner. The second race, number 22, Montregard, and number 14, Morricone. Third race, number 7, Slade Steel, he says, is unopposable, but if he's putting 2 up against him, number 3, Firefox, and number 4, Il Atlantique. The fourth race, number 9, Daddy Longlegs, and number 14, Toto 2. The fifth race, number 7, King Rasco Grey, and number 2, Garahan. Sixth race, number 2, Ban Bridge, and number 6, Gentleman de Me. The seventh race, number 5, Sandor Clegane, and number 8, 3 Card Brag. And the eighth race, the final race, number 6, Col Cannon, and number 2, Balco de Ange. And a reminder that Dara will be here each and every morning from 10:45, marking your card ahead of all the races at Punchestown, and we look forward to broadcasting live from the track each day this week.
KFM's daily live Punchestown update with bookmaker Dara Fitzpatrick.